What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we've had a momentary tangle with cables. Too many wires here. And joining us is the lovely Lady Claire, as you can see on BAM User. And so, Lady Claire, go ahead and just tell us what you want to talk about.
Well, there was an interesting vignette that someone who read Hillary Clinton's book, It Takes a Village, discovered.
Somebody actually read that?
Actually read it, yeah. And apparently the Clintons used slave labor in the Arkansas governor's home. And apparently that was standard operating procedure from 79 to 81 and 83 to 92. And she characterized these were prisoners who were released on furlough, not compensated, mind you.
Yeah.
But she said that they seemed to be, how did she put it, emotionally immature. But I have to look at this and say, where is the moral maturity for accepting this slave labor in the 20th century, Mike?
And I note that these were black prisoners.
Yes.
These were black prisoners.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
All right.
And it doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, it makes certain perfect sense from the point of view of the Clintons and, you know, living over there in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And our government has a long history of using prisoners as slave labor.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be internal to the government only. They would use prison labor to make federal office furniture.
Yeah.
When Janet Reno was attorney general, she actually had a plaque in her office.
Oh, I remember that.
That proudly proclaimed, all the furniture in this office is made by prison labor. Now, of course, it's all been privatized by the prison industrial complex.
Right.
But it's still slave labor, however that you call it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Is it cruel and unusual punishment, especially if the labor is actually dangerous? I don't know.
I don't know either. I just found it very strange. At Blacklisted News, there was a very excellently written article, and it says, a London attacker's links to UK covert operations in Syria and Libya. And apparently, the evidence suggests that one of the London attackers, Rashid Redouane, was part of a broad UK-backed covert strategy to oust Syria's Assad, following his similar role in Libya in 2011.
Yeah, they were out there to get him after from Gaddafi.
And apparently the analysis is all from mainstream media sources, all in the public domain. And what this evidence suggests is that this attacker was definitely trained. He fought in the 2011 British NATO war against Gaddafi, as did Salman Abedi, the Manchester bomber, and joined a militia which went on to send jihadist fighters to Syria. In Libya, he is believed to have fought with the Liwa al-Umma unit. Now, Michael,
this guy's a spook.
This is absolutely unbelievable to me.
Yes.
And the British government didn't expect there to be blowback when all was said and done?
I don't think this is blowback. I mean, everyone's saying it's blowback because you can't go on out and make war without them coming back. But when you look at all of these so-called terrorists and you find out they're covert operatives for the government itself, you have to wonder, are they not still covert operatives? I mean, if you talk to people like in the CIA, once you're in for life. You never really leave. Once CIA, always CIA.
Like the Good Shepherd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or once ONI, always ONI.
Mm-hmm.
You never really leave, and you're just there to be used for whatever your mission is, and occasionally some of them get used and picked up its patsies.
Yeah.
Look at all the evidence that surfaced that Lee Harvey Oswald was actually working for the CIA during the time he was supposedly a defector to Russia.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when he came on back, he was allowed back into the U.S., given a passport, as if nothing had happened. This at the height of the Cold War and all the tensions coming out of the Cuban Missile Crisis and all the, and it was, Lee, come on back in. Here's a passport. Here's money to travel. And by the way, we have a job for you down in Dallas.
Right, right. You know, and it boggles the mind. It just really boggles the mind. And one has to imagine that these attacks were allowed to happen, even though MI5, MI6 knew about these guys. But they just fallen off the radar.
Well, I think these attacks were allowed to happen to try and influence the UK election.
Yeah.
And given that the results defied expectations,
yeah.
There may have been an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't think it's a case of MI5, MI6 allowing it to happen. We have to entertain the possibility they made it happen.
Yeah.
That they were false flag
yeah.
attacks to push the war agenda or to influence the election.
Mm-hmm. And it did apparently influence the direction, but according to Theresa May's perspective, not in the way she might have wanted.
No, definitely not in the way that
yeah.
she wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And term limits on Congress.
Yes.
Okay. On Thursday, we witnessed a perfect example of this. Senator McCain's incoherent questioning of James Comey got so much attention that social media...
On
social media, that USA Today did a whole story about it.
Okay,
well, do we have a shout-out?
Yes, we have to do
good.
A shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network.
Okay.
Gee, you're getting good at this.
Okay. And really, it was very confusing. His thought process doesn't seem to be there in terms of being logical anymore.
Well, it isn't, and we actually
yeah.
touched on this earlier
yeah.
In the show because we had a caller yesterday that was saying, what the heck was McCain going on about?
Yeah.
And the story that is coming on out is that McCain apparently is not able to think spontaneously, and his staff had prepared a list of questions for him to ask Comey,
mm-hmm.
but unfortunately by the time McCain got
yeah.
his turn,
mm-hmm.
those questions had already been asked, and so he was forced to just wing it, and apparently in winging it, it was clear he could not actually put together
no.
a logical argument.
No.
And so I think we need to put him in the same boxcar as Maxine Waters
yes.
and Nancy Pelosi
yes.
And Dianne Feinstein and some of these other obviously... politicians dealing with issues of age and infirmity.
Yeah, it shouldn't be. I'm sorry, it shouldn't be.
Let's look on the bright side.
Yeah.
Obviously, the transition into dementia has been very smooth and dignified
I
for
guess,
these individuals.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yes. I'd also like to talk about Russia's move to provide food to Qatar. Stroke of soft power genius.
Absolutely.
And there are reasons why Russia is making itself available to Qatar as mediator. And they mostly have to do with positioning Moscow as the supreme balancing force across the Eurasian subcontinent and probing for a gas OPEC between the two and Iran. Apart from the tangible dividends, there stand to be a more immediate benefit from this soft power outreach to Qatar. Moscow was very wise to announce that it already increased food shipments to Doha, and which is hugely symbolic because this is the time when Muslims around the world are fasting.
Yeah, but they're still eating.
Yeah, they're still eating at
they
night.
They fast during
yeah.
the day, and then they have a really big meal at night. They still
right.
have to have the food for the really big meal. Now, I think this is a brilliant move on Russia's part.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's as brilliant as when Putin went on in and defused the issue of serious chemical weapons.
Yes.
And I think one of the reasons Moscow may have done this was to underscore the brutality of Saudi Arabia,
yeah.
which turned back a humanitarian food convoy
mm-hmm.
at the border of
yeah.
Qatar. And we already have been seeing how Saudi Arabia has imposed a starvation blockade on the people of Yemen.
Yes.
So I can imagine that Russia is going to be airlifting food into Qatar, sort
mm-hmm.
of a reverse of the Berlin airlift.
Yep.
And, of course, those airplanes are likely to be escorted by Russian fighters,
yeah.
Which would make any kind of an attempt to interdict the humanitarian aid very dicey indeed.
Yeah. I know you touched on this earlier in the show, but I would like to talk about the fact that U.S.-backed forces are entering Raqqa as coalition drops white phosphorus bombs.
Yes.
Now, Mike, forgive me, but isn't this banned in residential areas? Doesn't this go completely?
It absolutely is. It absolutely
Yikes.
Is. White
you know.
Phosphorus is a terrible chemical weapon.
Yeah.
If it gets on you, it just burns and it'll burn
yeah.
right down to the bone.
Yeah.
And you can't throw water on it. There's
yeah.
nothing that'll put it out.
Oh.
It is nasty. And under international law,
mm-hmm.
the only legal use for white phosphorus is as a smoke generator. Because
okay.
it does produce huge amounts of this very thick white smoke that can be used to shield your retreat from a battle zone or to conceal an approaching force. Although, if
mm-hmm.
you see a big cloud of white smoke coming your way, it's a good bet there's something that goes bang behind it. But that's the only recognized legal use of white phosphorus. And it is certainly banned for use on residential areas because it sets fires.
Yeah.
It's an incendiary weapon, and Israel's been using it on Gaza. There's photographic evidence of it. And again, the U.S. is clearly in violation of international law with all of these wars, with the use of torture. And Ron Paul was saying, yeah, the U.S. has gone off international law. We've lost our moral high ground.
Yeah, there is none. Mm-hmm. And also a related story, you may have touched on this. The U.S. aircraft shot down an Iranian-made drone that fired on coalition forces patrolling with partner forces in southern Syria. And this is the first time that pro-Syrian regime forces, which the U.S. says includes Iranian-backed Shia militias, have fired on U.S.-led coalition. Now, Mike, I have to wonder, I don't know what the odds are in Vegas, but my bet is that we are coming closer to the U.S. and Russia actually fighting each other in Syria.
Well, I'm sure that Vladimir Putin does not want that to happen. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, the ultimate goal of this rush to a world war from the U.S. point of view is some kind of conflict against Russia and China, hopefully limited, but enough to remove the ruble and the yuan from the global economy as a threat to the U.S. Federal Reserve note, because ultimately that's what this is all about.
Yeah.
They're risking the incineration of the surface of planet Earth in an argument over whose brand of ink and paper we all use for money for the next 100 years.
This is scary, and I don't see this diffusing anytime soon because the U.S. will not allow it to be diffused.
No, the U.S. wants the war. Look at who's doing all the invading and the drone striking. And it's very obvious to any impartial, objective observer who the aggressor is in this this current war fever. And it's not Russia, and it's not Iran, and it's not China, and it's not North Korea.
Nope.
It's the U.S. and its allies.
Yeah. This was an interesting story I read. After laying off thousands, Boeing CEO says offshoring work to China won't directly harm U.S. jobs.
Well, because those U.S. jobs are already gone, you know.
They're trying to cut down costs, which we understand, but this was said in public by their CEO, Dennis Muilenburg. Dennis, have you gone absolutely foaming, frothing at the mouth mad, sir? You know, talk to any of the people who've just been laid off, whose kids are maybe about to get into college and they're going to try to help. They don't have a job. And I can't imagine the hubris and stupidity of doing this. Now, what's happening is Boeing now has a Chinese partner, which is required in China to do business in China. There will be technology transfers, which is also required. The Chinese partner is state-owned Comac, which is leading China's efforts to become an aerospace giant, ultimately to compete with Boeing with parts for its aircraft. Its own jetliner, the C-919, which is the size of a Boeing 737, completed its maiden flight about a month ago.
Now, what's really interesting is that Michael Crichton actually wrote one of his books on this very topic, and it was called Airframe.
Yes, I remember.
It was a very good book, and you will never see it made into a movie because it was talking about economic globalism and the long-term cost to America's workers and even our technology base of these offshoring deals.
Yeah.
Because the issue with the technology transfer is these are technologies developed by American companies like the wing system, which is very critical. A lot of work has gone into developing high-efficiency wings and control surfaces. And all of a sudden, we're giving it to these companies in China who are then able to copy that off for their own aircraft to directly compete with us. And it basically, that's the real value of the Boeing company, is that technology they've developed to manufacture these. And all of a sudden, it's being given to China.
Yeah.
And we're seeing this disastrous continuation of this idea that the United States doesn't need to manufacture its own products anymore. We'll get those Chinese to do it. And again, what do we do with all these workers?
Yeah.
There is such short-sightedness in our corporate culture.
I hear you.
I think too many of our CEOs, including this one of from Boeing, are still worshiping at the altar of Adam Smith, who came on out there and said that if you are being personally greedy, that you are improving the system as a whole, which sounds alarmingly like that tenet of Scientology. Yes, even though you're harassing people and abusing them, in the long run, you're making Earth a better place. But Nobel Prize-winning mathematician John Nash, in his doctoral dissertation, proved that Adam Smith was absolutely wrong, and that an economic system of people looking out just for their own greed eventually would become self-destructive. Yeah. And that's where we are right now. The wealth of any kind of a product isn't in the ownership of the intellectual property. It's in the jobs that it creates.
And the
more jobs you create and the more you allow people to trade their labor for wages and salaries, the better the economy is going to become. I wish people would go back and read the wisdom of Henry Ford, who basically said the best way to become prosperous is to make the community around you prosper.
Yeah.
And he made a big point of paying the workers in his car factories very well, to the point where they could even buy the cars they were building, which in turn became his strongest advertisement that these were cars for the working class,
yeah.
That cars were no longer these very expensive status symbols for the ultra-rich, that anybody could have a car. And that, of course, was why Ford was such an amazing success. Mm-hmm. And if he hadn't done that, if he hadn't allowed his workers to earn decent wages and buy the cars, Ford would have just been another one of these car companies like the Hauptmobile, who came
yes.
and went.
I hear you.
Yeah.
The next thing is a little strange, but this is from the Department of You Can't Make This Stuff Up. The Ukrainian army shelled its own water resources, water delivery disrupted for many Kiev local towns.
Loyal towns.
Yeah.
That's an oopsie right there.
Yeah. And, the vast majority of citizens, said their spokesperson, who were affected by the water supply cuts, reside on temporary territory controlled by the Ukrainian government, said Denis Pushilin, the head of the DPR delegation to the reconciliation talks in Minsk. Although our citizens face no major disruptions due to timely efforts by our utility services, residents of about 40 settlements on the opposite side of the contact line will be a lot less lucky.
Oh, that's a whoopsie.
You know, and it was a pumping station in southern Donbass, water supply located near the so-called gray zone, announced that it was forced to halt operations after at least 8 shells launched by the Kiev government's troops landed on its premises. I mean, who gave that order?
And I have another thought.
What's the thought?
Well, we know there have been some earlier instances in that whole Ukrainian situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where apparently they're using electronic targeting systems,
mm-hmm.
but apparently they are susceptible to being hacked.
Ah.
And the wrong target coordinates fed in. There was another case, I think it was almost a year ago, mm-hmm. where the Ukrainian forces shelled some of their own tanks.
Yeah.
And that may be another repeat of that.
Yeah. On to a more serious subject. ISIS is ramping up attacks on civilians in Iraq, and 477 have been killed within a very short period of time.
Well, we touched on this a little earlier.
Yeah.
The fact is that Islamic State in Iraq is collapsing and fragmenting,
yeah.
and what is left of it are basically forming into these roaming bands of vigilantes who are mm-hmm. taking out their rage and frustration on the civilians. Again, it's another case of unintended or unforeseen consequences of U.S. foreign policy, because we know now that ISIS was encouraged to form by the U.S. government,
right.
that certainly within Syria, ISIS was being supplied
mm-hmm.
and supported by the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know to what extent ISIS in Iraq was being supported and supplied. But the U.S. is trying to play this double game.
Yeah.
They're going into Syria, they're going into Iraq, claiming to be opposing ISIS, and yet in both countries, the armed forces there are saying the U.S. is protecting ISIS. They're getting in the way, and they won't leave. We've got to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Yeah, I'd like to follow up with this,
okay.
because this has...
Folks, Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Extendivite, a seven-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And we're still talking with the lovely Lady Claire about the violence against civilians in Iraq.
Yeah. And there is something else that we have to address here. Kurdish nationals have said that they are going to set up a referendum to ask the Kurdish people if they want an independent Kurdistan.
Yes.
Which means taking bites out of Iraq, taking bites out of Syria. you know, apparently al-Assad and the current president of Iraq have not gotten the memo.
Well, see, here again, this is going to be fun to watch.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if the Kurds have an independence referendum, the U.S. Mm-hmm. is going to come on in and say, well, yes, the will of the people, the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, they have a right to vote and break off there. Mm-hmm. And, of course, everybody's going to say, well, what about Crimea?
Yeah.
And Crimea?
Yeah.
No, the two are completely separate. Russia stole Crimea.
No.
So it's going to be another case where the U.S. government is going to stand up there exposed as completely hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's one thing that if the Kurds want to break off and be separate, and quite another when this is really being imposed from outside, which is what's going on.
Yeah.
The grand plan for the Middle East is to break up all the big, strong nations into multiple little tiny weak nations that are going to be easy to push around, easy to bully by the United States and Israel, and most important to the fact, easy to exploit and plunder and loot.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, we may see some kind of regime change in Baghdad, but coming from within the Iraqi people.
And they're not happy about their U.S. puppet rulers any more than the people in Libya or Yemen or Afghanistan.
Yeah, but does anyone out there remember the fiery cleric Muqtada al-Sadr, the guy who ultimately told the U.S. that they had to get out of town in Iraq at precisely the date and time stated by the SOFA agreement, or else he was going to send his Mahdi army after every American serviceman in Iraq? That guy, he did something rather remarkable. He's looking and sounding as though he wants to make a run for the presidency in the next election for president in Iraq.
Oh, and better start shipping those Diebold machines to Iraq right now.
And
we can't let this guy get elected.
Here's what he said regarding Macron's election for the French election this last May. And he is reaching out his hand, saying that he was looking forward to an interfaith and intercivilization dialogue with France under newly elected President Emmanuel Macron. The leader of the Satirist movement described Macron's position as a victory for moderate politicians in Europe. In a statement, he later said, despite the recent ascent of evil powers in Europe, we find the extremist ideology recessed with the victory of Macron in France. He also expressed hopes that the latest developments would lead to expelling all extremist figures from Europe. Now, Mike, does that sound like he's thinking about it? I mean, come on.
No, actually, it's a very smart thing to do because, remember, Macron won. Was seen as a victory for the globalists, for the open border people.
Yeah.
And so now Macron is now going to be constrained. If Muqtada al-Sadr reaches out to him, he very well can't say, get the heck out of here, or it makes him look like he's engaging in hypocrisy and double standard.
Yeah.
So I think it was a very clever move on al-Sadr's part.
I agree so. And of course, the U.S. is going to be very horrifically upset if al-Sadr actually managed to win the election, because there would be no guarantee that Iraq's oil would be U.S.-controlled and only sold for the U.S. dollar as it is now.
Which is why we can guarantee the U.S. will make sure that Iraq election is as crooked as an oil rig's drilling bit.
Yes. Muqtada al-Sadr, please, I hope you're wearing your Kevlar undies.
Haven't been able to get him yet. You know.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's got a strong group around him that I'm sure protects him from all sorts of resources and people who want to do him harm.
Okay.
But I think, Mike, I would almost predict he's going to run.
I predict that he's got a good chance of winning if there's an honest and fair election.
Yeah.
Okay, we're coming up here on another commercial break.
Right.
And then we're going to come on back and we're going to talk about Korea and China and all kinds of interesting things there.
Yes.
So we'll be back after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get 2. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
NutriMedical's Calm Mind supports a relaxed mood and helps to support your brain neurotransmitter, helps lower blood pressure, helps to make you feel calm all day long, and helps to make it easier to go to sleep. Calm Mind contains GABA. It also contains xanthine and L-theanine, an amino acid from green tea. And it contains myo-inositol, a special B vitamin. Because it's such high quality, it works amazingly for anxiety, panic attack, and for depression. Get Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com, NutriMedical.com, or 888-212-8871. The special studies that have been done on Calm Mind show that it helps to stabilize the neurons in the brain, lower the autonomic nervous system that raises blood pressure, and helps to support normal calming activity throughout the body. That means you're going to have much higher energy level, much more stable mood, be able to tolerate stress better, and it helps to stabilize blood sugar as well. So order Calm Mind at NutriMedical.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And let's sort of take a look at what's going on over in North Korea and China. And again, I want to reprise the story we talked about earlier, which is that North Korea fired off a series of rocket tests a few days ago. They were initially reported in the corporate media as more tests of long-range ICBMs. No, in point of fact, North Korea has said these were tests of a brand new shore-to-ship missile, which is clearly a defensive weapon. And North Korea has said these are designed to basically deal with an attacking naval armada. And so, that again, the UN can go on out there and say, well, nobody should have nuclear weapons, which doesn't work because so many countries have them. And they can say that maybe we ought to limit ICBMs, but nobody is going to think it's reasonable to tell any country on earth that they should not be allowed to have weapons to defend their territory against an outside aggressor. We know the U.S. government would like to see that happen, They love nothing better than invading countries that can't fight back. That's why they pick on these little countries like Syria and Libya and Yemen and so forth and so on. But anyway, getting on back to the Korea, you had something you wanted to say. Whoops, I forgot to turn you up after the...
Okay,
there you go.
Thank you.
Your volume's back up.
All right, thank you. This article,
live radio here, okay.
This article appeared in antiwar.com, which I have a lot of respect for. They're very sober. Their research is very good. And the title of the article was Kim Jong-un Isn't Crazy, and China Doesn't Have a Solution. And it goes on to say that from the founder, Kim Il-sung, up to today, everyone appears to be rational. Yes, they had some things that could turn them into kind of caricatures, but...
Well, they were just being used to caricature them.
Yeah.
They're looking at the oversized sunglasses mm-hmm. and saying, oh, that's, you know, the sign of... Actually, no, Elvis wore oversized sunglasses, and certainly Elton John wore platform shoes.
Yeah.
It's just trying to find something to make the foreign leader... look different and crazy by saying they should be dressing and acting the way that we do.
Yeah.
And, of course, anybody in North Korea looking at how Americans are acting, especially those liberal snowflakes, they're probably saying those people are genuinely, certifiably insane.
Yeah.
But you need to look at the policies here. And what Kim Jong-un is trying to do mm-hmm. Is in recognition of the fact that the Korean War still officially is on.
Yeah.
He wants to make sure that North Korea does not endure a repeat of what happened when the Korean War started.
Yeah.
If you look at the tremendous number of people who were killed in that, it makes absolutely perfect sense that North Korea's government is doing everything they can to make a renewed invasion of their country as costly as possible for the invaders.
Yeah.
And there is nothing wrong with that whatsoever, unless you happen to be the invader, and your attitude is they should not be allowed to fight back when we go on in and steal their country.
Yeah. And when you think of what happened to Libya's Muammar al-Gaddafi, who negotiated away his missile and nuclear programs, he did set himself up to be a sitting duck for the invasion, which ultimately happened.
That's exactly right. Every time a nation has given up these weapons, inevitably they get invaded.
Yeah.
When we get into the gun rights argument, mm-hmm. and you talk about the gun grabbers saying disarm the public, mm-hmm. go back and look at every single genocide of the 20th century, mm-hmm. and you will find that just a couple of years before, mm-hmm. the targeted population was disarmed. Under the argument of we're going to reduce crime, we're going to have public safety, you don't need to have guns. And once they were disarmed, they were set up for genocide. And we mm-hmm. saw it all over the earth. We saw it in Germany. We saw it in it happened. It's a pattern.
Yeah.
If you're going to target a population, you take away their guns. You disarm them and you make them weak. And especially with the United States government invading everything that moves right now, it would be stupid for any world leader to give up their weapons. Now, I will grant you that when Russia negotiated the deal with Bashar al-Assad to surrender their chemical weapons, that was a smart thing to do because it did take away the rationale for the U.S. threatening to invade Syria.
Yeah.
And Bashar al-Assad really didn't want to use those weapons anyway, so it was kind of a low-cost deal for him.
Yeah.
The lesson from that was, even though Assad gave up his chemical weapons, the United States just looked for another reason to invade. And the lesson coming out of that for other world leaders is, don't surrender your weapons. It won't change the fact that the U.S. is coming to invade.
Yeah. I really wish, Mike, that Rex Tillerson, our Secretary of State, would drop the position of no negotiation until North Korea's denuclearization, because it's a failed start. It's just not going to happen. Now, what I think should happen should be that the U.S., China, South Korea, and Japan come together to negotiate a peace treaty with North Korea to replace the existing armistice with the guarantee for peaceful, unrestrained trade in exchange for letting go of its weapons program.
That would be treating them like a civilized person.
Yeah,
now,
yeah.
Right now, the best thing that's going on, of course, mm-hmm. Moon Jae-in, the new president of South Korea,
yeah.
is starting to move on his desire to de-escalate the situation. Mm-hmm. He has ordered the shutdown of all those terminal high-altitude area defense missile systems the U.S. installed in South Korea without their permission, I might add.
Yeah.
And he's moving forward with this idea. He wants to get together with Kim Jong-un and talk about ending the Korean War and actually reunifying the two Koreas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, dig up all the mines in the DMZ,
yeah.
You know, and basically build bridges across it because it's all covered with dioxin as well.
Oh, boy.
And just say, yeah, let's go back to being a unified Korea. And then, you know, there won't be this threat of invasion. And remember, there's something else to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. North Korea can have nuclear weapons. They are not just going to haul off and use them without a really good reason. Okay? And no nation that has nuclear weapons is just going to decide one day, oh, let's go ahead and nuke somebody else. Because the response would be the destruction of their country. If Saddam had had nuclear weapons, he never would have used them. He could, you know, put them in a museum, march them down the street in a military parade and say, look at us, we're really butch. Same thing with Iran, if they were ever to build a nuclear weapon. They're not going to just haul off and use it on another country.
Yeah.
Because the only country in all of history that has used nuclear weapons of mass destruction on another country is the United States. And they only did it to prove to the rest of the world that not only did we have these horrific weapons, but we were psychotic enough to actually use them.
Yeah.
And that was the whole point of it. But nobody is going to attack the United States with a nuclear weapon without a really, really good reason, because the result would be annihilation.
Mm-hmm.
And but this whole idea, oh, we can't let this country have nuclear weapons. Well, if you all want to give up nuclear weapons, I'm actually on board with that. But you're never going to get the United States to get rid of their nuclear weapons.
No.
And you can't even get Israel to officially acknowledge they've got nuclear weapons, mm-hmm. let alone get rid of them. And remember, we had that story out of the Israel Times where they admitted that during the 1967 war, they seriously considered nuking the Sinai. So they had them all the way back then. And we also know that Israel has been trying to sell clandestine nuclear weapons to other countries, because when the former government of South Africa fell, mm-hmm. and the new government came on in, they discovered documents about the negotiations that Israel was helping South Africa develop nuclear weapons, and at one point offered to sell South Africa a couple of Israel's nuclear weapons. And the question is out there, and nobody's answering it. Who else has Israel sold a nuclear weapon to?
Yeah.
I would love to see all these weapons be destroyed, you know, hammered into plowshares. But it's simply not realistic, because mm-hmm. until you can develop a system where you can detect a nuclear weapon at long range and know that it is really there, it's simply unenforceable. We don't know where the world's nuclear weapons are.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons that we don't goes all the way back to that Valerie Plame outing.
Oh, yeah.
Where Valerie Plame's husband had revealed that the documents that claimed Iraq was buying yellow cake, processed uranium,
yeah.
were forgeries. And we knew they were forgeries because mm-hmm. Iraq has plenty of uranium inside its own borders. It doesn't need to buy from anybody outside. But when they outed Valerie Plame as CIA, they also exposed that the company she was working for, Brewster Jennings Associates, I think was the name, was a CIA front. And that was the organization for the CIA that was trying to track third world nuclear weapons. And they had to shut down and restart. All of their assets and connections and resources disappeared. And so for a significant amount of time after that whole incident, U.S. intelligence had no means of tracking where nuclear weapons were going in the rest of the world. So the cat is out of the nuclear bag, so to speak.
Yeah.
So at this point, I would hold that all nations have a right to deterrence in the face of aggression by other countries.
Yeah.
And in the current paradigm, the aggression is coming from the United States and its allies. And at some point, the rest of the world is going to unite together and say, this has gone on long enough.
Stomp their feet and say, no mas, no yeah, more.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm very alarmed at Paul Craig Roberts' mm-hmm. Report that people inside the U.S. government are now saying, we can't actually win a conventional war against Russia. Let's just go ahead and hit the nuke button now. And that is just giving me nightmares.
That's terrifying.
Yes.
And the other article that I have that sort of dovetails into this, it's called the U.S. Jihadi Express, Indonesia, Afghanistan, Syria, and the Philippines. And the gentleman who's being interviewed is Professor Imam Soleh, who is a specialist on history. And he's talking in this article about the link between the old guard Southeast Asian, mainly Indonesian and Malaysian Muslim jihadi cadres called the Afghan alumni and the vanguard, or a new wave, which is now trying to destabilize, even destroy both Syria and the Philippines.
Well, I want to put a caveat on the Philippines. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure that the ISIS incursion into Philippines is a genuine organic movement coming so soon after the disruption of U.S.-Philippine relations over the issue of the Philippine government's crackdown on
the
drug
crime. Yes, yes.
And that was an amazing thing to watch, where we're all friends with the Philippines, and all of a sudden Duterte says that the drug crime is out of control, we're going to start cracking down on them. And Obama basically goes down there and says, no, 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 you don't do that. You run your drug enforcement the way that we do, because it works so wonderfully well for the drug cartels.
Yes.
And Duterte refused. And all of a sudden, you know, all of our good relations with Philippine are out the windows. Yeah. Philippines starts turning away from the U.S. and starts moving closer to China.
Yeah.
And so I think the ISIS incursion into the Philippines is another.
I'm sorry.
My apologies to all the listeners there. Claire keeps forgetting she's got a microphone in front of her mouth.
I'm sorry, guys.
Okay. I think it's another attempt at a regime change under the cover of the U.S.-manufactured ISIS group. That's what I think is going on.
Well, the article goes down to very much support what you've just said, because it says, while the name jihad itself has been used habitually and liberally all over the mainstream media, it was clear to this professor that behind the brutal combat, as well as most of the horrors unleashed in such places like Syria and the Philippines, hidden are the geopolitical interests of the West in general and the U.S. government in particular.
Well, this guy's really smart.
Yeah. You have to take a look, when you're taking a look at violence anywhere in the world, you've got to pull back to look at the big picture of how the use of radical religious jihadis has been central to the U.S. government's attempts at destabilization around the world, to regime change governments to its liking, make certain that the resources of those countries are only sold in U.S. dollars.
And again, this has been confirmed by many of the documents that leaked out of the Obama-Hillary Clinton State Department, where they're actually saying, we encourage the rise of these groups, we're going to support and supply these groups, and they're operating as U.S. proxies. And I agree. That's what was going on in Syria, what is going on in Syria, and now the Philippines as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to move over to Qatar, and I think this is slightly hysterical. Apparently, T-Rex Tillerson has been telling the Arab states to lift the Qatar blockade. It's hindering the campaign against ISIS. And, I mean, he says this with a straight face, and oh, my heavens.
Well, I think probably from the U.S. point of view, they would like to calm that situation down. Not because it's hindering the campaign against ISIS.
No.
That's just that's for public consumption. But I think everybody is looking at this as Turkey sends in troops, as Pakistan sends his troop, as Iran is coming on in, as Russia is sending food, that this could be an uncontrollable flashpoint to a wider regional war. And I think most military experts are looking at the current state of America's military stockpiles, the current state of our armed forces in terms of numbers, not to mention morale, and really concerned that we could lose in a conventional war in a big way. And again, I see the current United States military as very much in the same situation as the Soviet military going into Afghanistan. They have this image of invincibility.
Yeah.
And all it took was one defeat in Afghanistan for the world to say, oh, the Soviet army isn't this horrific monster we thought. The U.S. is in the same position. They're trying to pick their battles very carefully so they never lose one, because if there's a major defeat, if they lose a carrier, if they lose an entire army across a broad front war, the rest of the world is going to say the U.S. military isn't as terrible and unbeatable as we have thought.
Yeah.
And as happened with the Soviet Union, you'll start seeing areas break away from U.S. control, and it will all come crashing down.
Yeah. Now, I must say that I kind of applaud Trump's Tillerson's approach to attempting to resolve this issue. And yes, it's horrifically awkward because the U.S. government has alliances on both sides of the issue.
Yes.
And Qatar hosts 11,000, let me say this again, 11,000 American service members.
Yes.
Now, Mike, my concern about this, I don't know that Tillerson knows with whom he's dealing between the Royal House of Saud, the Saudi government, and the Saudi military. And just as in Asian cultures, the concept of face is critically important in the Middle East. And unless he and President Trump can figure a way to get the Saudis to back down without appearing to have lost face, I don't know.
Well, again, you know? The issue is this really all being motivated by the Saudis,
mm-hmm.
or are the Saudis just being used as a proxy by the U.S. government against Qatar the way that they are against Yemen? Because, again, all of this stuff whipped up after Donald Trump's visit.
Exactly.
We've got to take a break for commercials. We'll be back with the last segment of our program after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. Last segment of our Pauhana Friday program. And Claire, take it away.
Okay. As we were just discussing when we were off mic, if in fact the United States government is going to be using Saudi Arabia as a proxy, ultimately to attack Iran. And we think that may where things are going.
Then Tillerson's comments are just an attempt to de-link the U.S. from all this nonsense in the eyes of the public.
Sort of, we didn't make this happen, mommy.
That's
sort of where that is.
All those other people, they did it all on their own. And now that they're doing it, we have a right to go in and bomb the place.
You know, when President Trump did the tweet about Qatar being the source of terror for the Middle East, like Saudi Arabia sort of isn't hello there.
Disconnect. That's the funny thing here. I mean, Saudi Arabia is upset that Qatar is funding the same terrorists that Saudi Arabia is.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, those Qataris, they're cutting into our toif. It's a toif war. They're coming into our district. They're cutting in on our protection racket, you know.
Yeah,
it's like the mafia out there.
And if, in fact, Trump doesn't want this to happen, he really needs, I don't know what kind of green light the Saudi Arabian government and military and royalty thought they got to do this when he went to Saudi Arabia. But if he doesn't want this to happen, that's got to be undone.
Well, there's one way to pull the rug out from all of this nonsense on Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
This weapons deal is not a done deal yet. In fact, there's already pressure building in the Senate for Congress to say, no, we're not going to let this thing go forward.
Yeah.
So I think a very telling indicator is going to be how hard Trump fights for this deal to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Trump just stands back and says, oh, well, then that would indicate that Trump does think this Qatar situation needs to be brought back under control.
Yeah.
But it is a very alarming how everybody seems to be piling into this one little tiny piece of land.
Yeah.
And it's got to be getting crowded there by now with all the people that are pouring in. And already it's disrupting air travel all over the region. Because the Qatar airport was a major hub for many airlines in the region. So they're all having to change their flight patterns.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, the 24 hours that Saudi Arabia gave Qatar has expired.
Mm-hmm.
Qatar has not capitulated to the 10 demands.
Not at all.
And so it could actually, Saudi Arabia could uncork on them this weekend. And we'll see what happens after that.
And what I want to know is what happens to our 11,000 servicemen currently serving in Qatar.
I find it interesting we haven't heard anything about them.
Yeah.
We're not hearing that Qatar is confining them to base or locking the gates.
Yeah.
We're not hearing that the U.S. is getting ready to evacuate them.
Yeah.
I would imagine that that if the U.S. is trying to act like this is nothing of their doing, that the 11,000 military will just stay where they are.
Mm-hmm.
But if the U.S. is behind it, they could order the 11,000 to march on the Capitol because they're very,
Doha.
Very close to it.
Yeah.
They could go into Doha and take the Capitol buildings.
Yep.
So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're coming up here on the music and the end of our program. Back there it is.
Mm-hmm.
So have a really good weekend. Thank you for listening to our program. Please try and help chip in with RBN because we need to stay on the air and keep shouting the truth against all those not quite as rich as they were but still rich corporate media outlets which are still out. They're being paid to lie to you, and we're trying to get you the truth. Have a really good weekend, and we'll be back here Monday, which is also King Kamehameha Day here in Hawaii.
Uh-huh.
So aloha, America.
Time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540.
That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get Too. That's ICANGET2, Silent Salesman App at appsapart.com. That's APPSAPART.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.